Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode, Resellers Mindset Podcast. Mike next to Johnny. Today's topic is one that's kind of been near and dear to me lately. As resellers, we all expect to make money at the end of the day. Not sales, profit. Money you actually take home, can buy yourself a cheeseburger with, put into your 401k, or, you know, pay off some debt, whatever works for you. So we're going to talk about how you can make $1,000 in the next 30 days reselling. Johnny's got a lot to say on this, so he's just going to take us away here in the beginning, and we'll just see where this goes.
I'm actually going to tell you how to make more than $1,000 a day. And it's a very, very simple thing. One box a day, one eBay listing a day, for 30 days in a row, every day. Now, you can cram multiple days into one day if you have a full-time job or a part-time job, as for instance. So you can do all your sourcing one day, knock it out in 8 hours, do all your packing one day. There, you're working 2 days a week. Or you could just do one box a day, one eBay listing a day. It ain't going to kill you. Now, you're going to have to do some sourcing to get the material in order to do this, of course. So there's going to be work involved, I'm afraid to say. Actual work. So what should you do first? Well, you should probably find out where you need to go to get the stuff. You have so many options that we've gone over in a plethora in previous podcasts. We'll just go over the top of the list. Thrift stores, bookstores, flea markets, garage sales, pawn shops, library sales. So those are probably, that should be good enough to get you what you need for this little 30-day project of a box a day and one eBay listing a day. So once you get all the material, you're going to have to process the material. Flip through the book at least once. Make sure there's not graffitied all in there by previous owners. And you probably want to set your book sizes or DVD or CD sizes or vinyl, whatever you're into, and organize them a little bit. So they'll go in your packing supplies. So if you don't have packing supplies, you're going to have to get some. If you have no money to get some, well, you could try your grocery store or your Sam's Club, see if you can get some free boxes to just start out. Now, if you got a few dollars, the Lowe's and Home Depot or U-Haul boxes, good enough. You can order some on Amazon even. You probably don't want to go over 40, 50 pounds per box. So doing the math at home, 30 times 40 pounds, big numbers, math, yay. And then you're going to have some mailing labels. You can use your standard printer, of course. If you don't have a printer, well, you can go down to good old local library. They all got computers and printers these days. You may have to pay a few cents for their single sheet of paper, but you can do it. You're going to need some SKU labels as well. And then you're going to need time for all of this. Time being the biggest factor, especially if you have a full-time or part-time job. So you got to do some pre-planning, figure out where you can squeeze in the minutes that add up into hours that will make you fulfilled in this grand scheme of one box a day and one eBay listing a day. Because not everything you're going to pick up is going to be Amazonable. So then it becomes eBayable. You may have to put a bunch of crap together to make one listing. But that's okay. You can do it. I believe in you. I think you can do it.
I think Johnny's a little crazy with his one box a day, because I find it hard to even pump one box a day on a weekly basis. But I will let you slide with one box a week. That will still get you over the $1,000 mark on Amazon. So, and that's really not that bad. I think one thing I want to harp on is, how much stuff do we have sitting around that we don't use, right? Just in our house. I mean, come on. Think about just some of the random stuff that we have that we could, you know, old phones. You upgrade your phone, you still be surprised at what you can get for some of these older phones, especially like a flip phone. Me and Deb were talking about flip phones the other day. Like, those things go for crazy money and they sell all the time because they don't exist no more. Everybody probably has like a kitchen drawer full of old electronics that you can easily sell. Old iPads, tablets, laptops. And when I used to be broke, and kind of talking about being a broke reseller here, or if I'm already talking about somebody that's reselling and they're not making money, You should be wanting to sell things and get money, because isn't that the point of reselling? Is to make money. It's not just to say you're a reseller at the end of the day. So sell the stuff around your house you don't use no more. A lot of people play video games nowadays, games you don't play no more. There are so many different things, kitchen appliances you don't use no more that you can make money off of that you have sitting there that's ready for free. And hey, you can get a lot of stuff for free. Download the Freebies app, Freebie Alert app. Put in whatever you want, put in free. Anytime somebody lists anything free on the internet, it's going to pop up to you, set to your location. I mean, when I first started reselling, me and Deb used to drive around the rich neighborhoods on trash night to sell stuff on eBay. And this is the truth. It'd be like 10 o'clock at night, it's pitch black, right? Because I ain't trying to get, shot up, even though it's a nice neighborhood. And I don't want to feel weird like I'm
You don't
digging
want to
some.
catch a gold-plated bullet,
I
Mike?
mean, I don't want to. I don't know, but we used to drive around the nice neighborhoods, and you better believe I was filling up my old school Chevy Lumina with anything that seemed like it was worth it. And you can make money doing that. And it costs you nothing. It costs you a tank of gas, which will run you $4 on the super high end. I think there's so much opportunity to make money in reselling when I hear people aren't making money. I don't know if it aggravates me. Or just makes me feel sad inside because you can sell anything, right? You might not make $1 million off everything, but if you wanted to list all your t-shirts for, $5 free shipping or $6 free shipping to make $2, you probably could sell the majority of the, probably could sell everything in your house if the price was right.
No, absolutely. I mean, you could even open up your own dollar store with your own possessions, essentially, and clear some money. Another note on that, Freebie Alert app's great. You could check Marketplace and or Craigslist and type in the word free to see what appears. Now, keep in mind in these ads, when they say free, sometimes it's not essentially free. They'll have it clarified in their ad that they're really charging money, even though they put in their title free to get suckers like us to click on it. So just do your research on it. You don't want to show up and they want to charge you a dollar per thing, and the first one's free, right? They try to trick you a little bit there, but it's not everybody. Most people's above board on these places, but sometimes you'll catch those kind of things. So if we're doing Mike's model, you make more money if you do my model. But anyway, if we're doing Mike's model,
You work less if you do my model. Who cares
you work
about
a
money?
whole lot less. Will you make more money? I don't know. Maybe, maybe.
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. So if you're doing one box a day and you're doing one eBay listing a week is in addition, or no eBay listings?
No, you should be doing eBay listing. I think one eBay listing a day is feasible because you could just draft seven out easily in like 30 minutes, one day of the
Okay.
week.
So one box a week and one eBay listing a day, well, 30 listings total, however you want to splice that
And
up.
four boxes in a
Four
month.
boxes, so 40 and or 4 and 30 here. So we're talking probably in the neighborhood 200 items or less is what you're going for. We'll call it 250. So 250 items. Some are eBayable, so most are going to be going to Amazon, right? So again, you got to figure out where you're going. You got to have a budget in mind, unless you're doing the freebie and alert thing. Then you're going to need to plan out a route because there's only so many hours. You may get 5, 10 here, 2 here, 0 here because, oh, it's water damage. Got to leave it behind. This is why it was free. So, again, time management is going to be a key factor here. And we had a conversation on this on the Sunday call last week. Schedule, especially for you people. Let's say you're a nurse. You're on call and you're used to working 60, 70 hours a week. So your minutes are critical. You're gonna have to do a lot of pre-planning and a lot of scheduling. Maybe you go on your lunch break, eat on the drive there. You're driving with one hand, eating another, doing a big gulp kind of thing. I don't know. However you want to play it. It's doable. I don't care what kind of schedule you have. If you're a college kid with all the time in the world or the nursing mom, all of this is doable in 1 month's time span with 250 items. You can do it, no matter how tight your schedule is.
I got a hot take. To make $1,000 a month on Amazon, how many hours a month do you think I would need, Johnny, to make $1,000 a month on Amazon?
5 hours a week, 20 hours a month.
No, you're way high.
I thought I was. It's half that, probably.
Probably less. It's probably 3-4 hours.
And this is everything. Packing boxes, everything. Dropping them off.
I mean, think about it. You get one box of CDs, 100-ish CDs at average $10 profit right there. Boom, you're done.
But I'm factoring in the guy that has to drive around with Freebie Alerts app. I'm not factoring in you go into a thrift store or a library and buy
two. No, I'm just telling you the bare minimum I think I could get it done.
You, yourself? Yeah, absolutely. You, hey, yeah.
2 hours, 3 hours a month.
I think you're going to be under five. I don't think you're going to be three.
Okay. All right. I'll take five.
I'll give you 5 hours.
Okay. I'm fine with a $200 per hour going rate. I think we get caught up. And I want to get into eBay a little bit here because I just feel like eBay, we feel like we just drag ourselves into this. And we drag ourselves along for the ride with eBay. It's been talked about so much about not having a death pile. What percentage of eBay sellers today do you think have a death pile? I'm not talking about a queue pile, things that you know, you're listing 10 a day, so you got your next stack of 50 ready to go.
Ew.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about stuff that you bought maybe a month, 2 months ago that's just sitting there. What percentage of eBay sellers do you think have a death pile?
96%.
Sheesh. Damn, dude. All the eBay sellers are going to come for you. I was going to say like 50 to 60 maybe.
No, I've been around a minute. Even in hardcore groups, it's like that. We all buy. Even I have a death pile in another warehouse that does not come in this warehouse where there's a queue. It's just piles of stuff when I get to it. Because deals come around. Good deals come around once in a while. Regular deals come around every day. Do I do the everyday deals anymore? Not so much. But I still got books walking my door because I have a brick and mortar now. I try to make a lot of that stuff go to Amazon. The rest just goes right in the storefront. And a small percentage goes to eBay these days for myself. Now, if somebody ever dropped off or that great deal came along, I have a place to put it. And that is, quote unquote, a death pile of mine. But that'll probably be all cleared out this year. Now, I don't do frequent buying like I used to because I don't need to these days. But when I run out, I will have to buy again. And I probably won't have a death pile for very long. It'll come from death pile to queue pile, essentially.
I will. I'll argue against you that it's not a death pile. You just have to have so much inventory to feed your business.
Yes.
That it's almost just like an extended queue, right? Like there's a plan to get to that in the next month, the next 2 months, next 3 months. So like, I see what you're saying is it's a death pile, but the volume you do, it's really not a death pile. And I think about people that go to a thrift store, right? You sell everything, anything you can make a buck on eBay. You spend your $10 today for that item. And then you go home and you don't list it and it sits there for God knows how long. Not only are you losing on the profit you're going to make from that sale, but you already got your money invested into it. Like that's literally lost money sitting there. Like it's not just it's free and it's sitting there. Even if it's free and it's sitting there, it shouldn't be sitting there because there's money to be made off it. But you have that's literally a pile of your money sitting there you're staring at every day.
Right. And it's actually costing you money if you think about it, because that downtown place, I paid rent on it. I pay rent on the facility I'm in here. So when stuff ain't for sale, well, you're not making any money on it just sitting there. And I just crunched some numbers. We're doing about, just on Amazon, averaging out 240 items a day that we're sending out. So the 250 you guys can do in a month that I can do in a day. Now, keep in mind, I do have one employee. It's doable. We're also doing, we're doing 12 eBay listings a day. We're launching 6, drafting 6. So every day of eBay we do, we generate a day off when we need to concentrate more on Amazon to do these bulk buys, or I have to go in town for out of town for a bigger buy or a networking opportunity. So that's how we're doing our time management. We're doing 2 days of eBay every day to allocate our time. Like he talked about the draft bank earlier. I think that is very critical and crucial to people with little to no time, as well as people who want time off. Like Mike, he wants to work as little as possible. So he would probably do a draft bank, bang it out in one day, so he didn't have to do it all throughout the month. He'll do his 30 listings in one day, probably, maybe 2 days.
Do you think the argument, I know the answer you're going to give me because you literally have worked 16-hour days for weeks, months straight. Do you think the argument that people don't have the time is just BS?
Yeah, I do. I honestly do.
I agree, and I barely work, dude, because think about it. There's something you're wasting time on every single day, right? I enjoy watching Unsolved Mysteries. Well, if I forget Robert Stack for the hour of the 2 hours I watch every night, I got an hour free that I can work on a business. Well, you have kids. Well, the kids are not up 24 hours a day. If you really want to make the extra money, possibly get out of the situation you're in financially or see results and some kind of side hustle you have going, you're going to find the time. And I found the time when I was working at CVS over 50 hours a week to grow my eBay business, to quit CVS.
Yep.
So the idea that we don't have time, everybody has circumstances, right? Johnny has things going on in his life. I have things going on. People have kids. People have illnesses. They care for others. The list is endless, but there's still ways you can fit time into your day that you don't think that you actually have.
Yeah, on the call last week, the person I was most impressed with was, is it Tatiana? Is her name?
Yeah, the teacher.
The teacher, yeah. She does teaching full time. She has a family, and she does bulk, but she does bulk on her time, and her time is precious. She doesn't buy more than her capacity of her garage, but she fills that up when she can, and then she processes every spare minute she can get. Meanwhile, doing a full time job, meanwhile, running a family.
I know.
And that is impressive. She's doing it all. And she's working very hard at it. I was very impressed with her. She's making it work and doing a bulk model. Bulk is a lot of hours.
Dude, she started out and she was just hitting thrift stores. And she quickly realized, like, hey, you know, like you're saying, she has all these time commitments that it's not feasible for me to be driving and going to all these thrift stores. Like, I can't block out, you know, a full day to go thrifting or half a full day to go thrifting. So she said, well, I'm going to try, you know, getting some bulk inventory, because when it's sitting behind you, you can stop and go work on something else. If something else needs your attention, you're doing a lesson plan for teaching, you can stop. So she completely pivoted and now she's crushing it. It's crazy to me that once you're self-aware of what's going to work for you and you just commit to it, sky's the limit.
The only one thing that I think she's doing incorrectly, and she's doing 95% of it right, she's allocated 0 minutes to herself. Because I asked her that, and she says, I don't have minutes for myself. I'm doing all these other things. I'm like, you need to reexamine your schedule. And at least, if it's even a 30-minute walk once a week, you need to find that 30 minutes for yourself. Because I'll be honest with you, I do that kind of grind too. And every now and then, I do need a break. I mean, Mike busted my balls and saying he gave me a day off. I didn't realize this. Thanks, Mike. It was actually appreciated. I was busy that day. Very busy. It gets to you doing the 15, 16 hours a day. You need a break every now and then just to reflect. Give yourself, am I doing everything right? I mean, we think about these things all through the day, but really having the time to really focus on it, not just an afterthought of, am I doing it right? Okay, I think I am. Let's continue to go. And or am I happy? We don't ask ourselves this question enough, I think, as a society or humanity as a whole. We can play a whole lot how we're miserable or not. If you take a minute, am I really happy? Am I really satisfied? Do I love what I'm doing? Whether that's business, outside of business, personal, family, whatever, entertainment, hobbies, etc. I think that's very critical to readjust yourself. So you can perform better in business, honestly. Even if it's just taking a minute out of yourself that has nothing to do with business, it helps with your business as a whole, believe it or not. Because we're humans, we're not machines, unfortunately. We can call people machines sometimes, and they are, and they're workhorses, etc. But even they need a few minutes for themselves sometimes.
I think there's another side of this we have to look at, is that people that aren't making $1,000 or $1,000 for the sake of this podcast, but they are actively working in their business every single day. How long do you have to bang your head against a wall for you to realize what you're currently doing ain't it? This ain't it, right? Think about somebody that's listening one item every single day on eBay, Johnny, and they're making $100 a month, and they just continue to do it. It's you have to see what's going on. Is it the stuff you're listing? Is it how you're listing? And the argument that you can't find desirable items, I think that's another thing along with the death pile. Like it's been completely blown up thousands of times by successful resellers on social media and YouTube. There is profitable items everywhere you go. You just have to know what to look for. And that excuse is gone, along with the death pile excuse. And if you're the person that is, you feel like you're working real hard and you're not getting no money, it's not the platform. It's the crap you're selling or the processes you're doing to try to sell it.
No, absolutely. I mean, we mentioned his name a lot. We're gonna mention it again because he's usually right. Mr. Tech and Sports says, okay, if you can't get $30 items and you're trying to get 14, okay, fine, get 28 $14 items. Can you do that? You'll have to grind a little more, but doesn't make it feasible to obtain the same thing. There's always a way. It just may be a little harder for you because everybody has different benefits where they are, or they have different cons going for them. Let's say you have one arm, for instance. That's by all considered a negative. Should they be unable to do the same job you do? No, they just may have to work at it a little harder, but they can do the same damn thing. And this goes with reselling. If you can't find the items, well, maybe you need to do double the work. To achieve the same dollar objective, you're trying to get that $100. So if 30 ain't cutting it, well, maybe you do 60. Or you go up and you drive farther out to get the higher quality items to come back. If you're stuck in your 30-minute radius, well, maybe you go out of 30 minute additional 30 minutes for an hour radius. That doesn't work, double it, 2 hour radius. You will find it. That still doesn't work. Well, there's this lovely thing, ladies and gentlemen, we call the internet. Yeah, you're gonna have to pay up. But you're going to get the kind of items you want. That's how this works. There's always a way.
It's funny because you hear with eBay, you need knowledge, right? I mean, sure, you can scan barcodes on your phone, right? But like, you have to understand the stuff you're selling and what's valuable. You hear it. I hear it in almost every thrift store I'm in, people scanning stuff with the eBay app. And I think to myself, how long are we staying in one thrift store scanning every single thing? And why don't we have the knowledge before we get to the thrift store? To be like, okay, I know this is a Stanley tumbler and this is a $40 bill. I don't have to sit here and type it in or Google Lens every single item on the shelf. I think a lot of it is just ignorance to the category you sell in and not having the knowledge base. So when you get out there, everything is worth, you don't know how much anything is worth in a thrift store. Like if you had on the Apple Vision Pro where it
Oh, those are
pulls
cool.
everything up, right? Like it would all be question marks if you don't have that on because you have no idea what the value of anything is. And if you're going to look every item up in the thrift store, you ain't ever going to get nowhere. You sure you might find some gems, but think about how long it's going to take you to get through it.
No, absolutely. I mean, even that thing, if it's a one of a kind, it's not going to know what to do with it. It's never been on the internet.
No.
There's nothing. And it'll just come up a question mark or block it out entirely because it doesn't know what to do with it. Because even technology can fail on some things. Do I think technology is great in certain areas to speed up your workflow? Absolutely. We all use software over in Amazon land. I mean, in effect of itself, Amazon eBay platforms are so software to sell our goods faster. We're not just stuck in carriage and cart and horse times these days and have to journey on down to the local farmers market fair to sell our wares anymore. We sell on a global market. We sell it to the entire world as our audience. And you know what? There's a lot of people who underprice their things that you can take advantage of, even on the online market, not just thrift stores, not just pawn shops, not just library sales. There's the whole world's available at a keyboard these days. Now, I think time management is probably the biggest thing that's going to help you out, even on the initial challenge here, getting your $1,000. That is so crucial, especially in my business and Tatiana's business, a bulk. Our minutes are precious. So we have to analyze, and we're going to pull a line from Mr. Jack here, your profit per hour. Is what I'm doing making me money on an hourly basis? Yes, no. No? Is it going to lead me to making more money over the next hour? Yes. Okay, I'll continue to do sweeping the floor task or move this box out of my way task. because in and of itself doesn't make me any money, but it'll speed me up over the next hour to make even more money versus walking around the stupid box. So what do you think about people who just get up every day and don't have a schedule and just kind of try to do reselling? Are they going to make it?
Dude, that used to be me. You can make it. It's just chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to have zero mental calories left every single day? Have no kind of schedule. If you want to see results that are, have no schedule. It's like, it is night and day. And I understand the argument like, oh, well, things happen throughout the day. Well, I'm not saying you got to block out every 30 minutes, every hour. Yeah. Have an initial overview of your day, right? You can always, that's the benefit of being self-employed. I get my wisdom teeth yanked out. I can take off however many days I damn want it, right? You're not obligated to do these things. So being self-employed, it's a lot of self-motivation, and having a plan is going to motivate you more to do it. Because if you don't wake up knowing that today's the day you're going to go source, then you're probably not going to do it. You might, but it won't. You won't get out early. You won't go to where you really want to go. So yeah, I mean, you got to have some kind of plan, especially if you're working full time and this is part time. I think it's even more crucial to have a plan. But like we said, right, Tatiana has so many moving pieces. Well, then you figure out a business model that you can fit into your moving piece in business. There's nothing wrong with that. You just have to accept the fact that, hey, I got a lot of things going on right now, so I got to change my business model for X amount of time. And it works. There's proof that it works.
Right. I think another key point to achieving this goal, the tools that you're given, and we're going to talk on the Amazon side here, the tools that you're given, you need to spend the time to set them up correctly. I'm talking about your repricer. And not only that, when you initially price the item, you got to understand the columns on your scouting software, what they all mean, so you know how to price the item. You can't just flatline $100 bill, $100 bill, $100 bill, 10 items, I'm done, right? No, that's not how that works. Oh, I didn't see this over here. This is really a $5 item. Maybe I won't send this in. Because if you just send things in willy-nilly, you're in fact going to lose money because there's fees on all these items, even on the point of boxing them in. We're getting fees now on a per item that we put in there. That's just how it is. So you want to put profitable items above and beyond all the fees that you're going to pay. So you also have to factor in, well, is it going to sell in a time frame where it is positive? Can I send this $8 item in, but it's only going to sell once a year? Answer is probably no. You're not going to clear enough money unless it's a super light item. Then it's a maybe, but you got to know that. You can't send in that same $8 item on a 5-pound book. It's not going to work. It's not.
I got something that might be eye-opening. Every single item I've ever listed on eBay, I've listed at the current lowest price. So when I listed that item, I was the lowest price on eBay, regardless of what the item was. My whole eBay career, I never played this game of, well, Johnny, I'll let Johnny sell his first and I'll be next in line. And I know price doesn't mean everything on eBay, but you fools out here that are trying to play the game of getting an extra $3, $5, $10, $20, $30. It ain't gonna work. I'm here to tell you this. Price is what people care about. And this was even before we were so broke as a country. We're broker than we've ever been as a country. Why do I shop on eBay? When I go look for my jerky guy, right? Like, it's because he's got the best price. It's much cheaper than anywhere else I can get it. People care about the price. They don't care about your photos. They don't care about this. If they see two, and how do you think the huge sellers get away with selling media on eBay with a stock photo? There's no actual photo of the book. You have no idea what condition it's going to be. It's literally the brand new photo, and they will outsell every single person that decides to take a photo of the actual item if their price is that much cheaper. Price is what matters. You can't chase this high dollar. I'm going to get more for mine because X, Y, and Z. Well, most likely, you're probably not going to. So I think that way of reselling, good luck, Chuck. I don't want to hear about things not selling. For me, I'm taking the quick money, turning my money into more quick money, and that's how I kind of got to the point where I'm at.
Now, the only thing I'll make a slight adjustment on what you just said if you put the additional time and effort into your listing, the additional photos, better item specifics, a banger description, and correct condition notes, you can charge slightly up. However, Mike is perfectly correct. He's going to sell his item at the lowest price faster than I will, and I will get the most money. So again, this comes down to managing your time and cash flow. How quickly do you need to turn over your inventory? Again, knowing this, you got to know what you're doing.
Yeah, dude, but people aren't like, you make it sound so easy, right? Like if we look at your eBay business where you're selling sci-fi trade paperbacks, when the average reseller thinks, oh, more item specifics, oh, a better description, right? Like this is them just putting in the description instead of the item is in good condition, putting, oh, this item is in the good condition. It's from a smoke-free, pet-free home. Like there's really no substance that adds to the overall
Correct.
value of the product, right? You're putting in like the artist of the cover art, right? The author, they maybe a little synopsis of the book you're scraping from the internet. Like that is not what's happening out there. If you tell somebody, hey, do a little bit better of an eBay listing, I guarantee it's going to be pet-free, smoke-free home in the description, and that's it.
That's fair enough. I mean, when I look down at the description, sometimes it's just a condition note, just like what you're saying. There's not even the title of the book. Like, what book did I click on again? Let me scroll all the way back up to find out. No, put your damn title in the description at least, in addition to condition notes. That's you'll go night and you'll at least be beating half the listings on eBay by just doing that one change. Also, I mean, I price up. I wait a minute for my books, but my business model set up to do that. I'm in a warehouse. I have a huge storage facility for my eBay listings. But, and I also list a lot. Well, I used to list a lot more, not so much these days, but my eBay store is still gigantic to some people that are like, oh my God, thousands of listings. I mean, yeah, sure. But I put in a lot of hours to do that. That's the thing. That's the other reason it's blowing your mind when you hear those numbers, because you haven't factored in the amount of hours it is to equal that. If you put the same amount of hours into your own business, you would not be impressed. You'd be like, oh yeah, this is what work gets you. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it kind of almost becomes a job in the sense of it, like the time you're putting in. But the problem is, a lot of people turn it into a job and they're not getting paid more than if they just went down the street and worked at McDonald's, right? And there's something to be said to make less and be your own boss. But sheesh, there's a lot of better things you can do than reselling to make a decent amount of money if it's not working for you. I mean, there's so much opportunity out there. And to harp on a little bit, because I know we're going to get. I can't find the profitable stuff in my area, the desirable items. Johnny already kind of covered that and said, hey, look outside your thrift store. How does everything in the thrift store get to the thrift store? Somebody physically has to take it from their house to the thrift store. So there's a gap in between here. You save somebody the drive to the thrift store, you get it for way cheaper. It's way better quality and it's not picked over. Because if you think thrift stores, if you still live in this realm where you think thrift stores aren't looking items up, you're absolutely out of your mind. You can cut out that middleman altogether. You save money and you get the good stuff. But what do I know? I just resell on Amazon.
You know, it's funny, I think the last two eBay calls we did, maybe the last three. There was always a person in there when they were asking, or we got on the topic of sourcing. Lean in close. It's going to blow your mind. Have you tried going to a book store? No. Where do I get inventory from? I'm looking for books. Have you tried a bookstore? It doesn't, because everything that's plastered on the internet, it's not that. It's very global. They'll go to a thrift store. They'll go to the Goodwill bins. They'll go to the Salvation Army. If you look at booksellers, even the ones on YouTube, they don't really cover bookstores. Now, I'm not saying the prices are great at bookstores, but I guarantee you they have all the inventory there. All the inventory is there because it's all books, right? Because it is indeed a bookstore.
Thrift stores are like, it's the easiest, like, but it's almost the dead end of the line of the life of an item, right? So it's like, it's the easiest because, hey, there's one right there out the window. But it's like, how many people have seen or touched that item before it's got there? And then after the thrift store, it's literally the dump. Like, that's like, you're at the very end of the process, the life of that product you're trying to find. And somebody's probably found it long before it's even made it close to going to the thrift store, right? People have estate sales before they donate everything. Are you going to the estate sale? There's so many easier ways to kind of source the better items. We have people that just rely solely on estate sales, and they'll do well over, 50K a year on Amazon, and they go just two days a week going to estate sales. It's crazy to me that we think thrift stores are our only option, when in reality, it's the worst option.
So I'm going to give you two ones here that people really talk about too much. What do they call those little local neighborhood libraries?
Oh, yeah, the little free libraries.
The little free libraries. Now, it's frowned upon if you just take everything. It's less frowned upon if you exchange items for the items you're taking. Do that latter one. Don't rob the community, redonate to the community, and then take the good stuff. Another one, not people think about it. If you go to, and I've done this, community centers like for seniors and stuff, they most seniors read. So if you offer to rotate their library, they'll do that a lot of the times because they like to read. Like, what are you wanting to read? Well, we love Nora Roberts and John Grisham. He's our jam, and let's throw in some Louis L'Amour while we're at it. I got lots of that. I'll give you all of it. It's great. And then I'll take what you don't want. And now I have fresh inventory. Some of it may be junk, some of it may be great. And there's other senior related things, and I'll let you noodle on that where you can do the same thing from. So there's always ways. You just gotta
Thing
take some
about it.
time to think about it.
Both things you just said, if you go to little libraries, you got business cards, you should have business cards. You put a little business card and a lot of the books in there. You go to the senior home, put your little business card in there, all of a sudden word of mouth spreads. Hey, my grandpa at the home said, if you buy books, boom, boom, you're in. Like
Oh, yeah.
it's people that are getting books from the little free library. Read books. You know what that means? They probably have bookcases full of books at home. I mean,
Yeah, put a little card in every single one of those books.
it's so foolproof sometimes, and we just overcomplicate it. I firmly believe whether you're part-time or full-time, whether you're working 5 hours a month like me, or you're working, 40 hours a week, you should easily be making $1,000 in profit every single month.
Here's another one. You'll have to do a little bit of research in, but if you pay close attention to just your everyday places you go, a lot of them have what we older generations like to call a bulletin board. And on this bulletin board, you can place your card and/or a flyer. And you'd be surprised what kind of calls you get. You gotta be a little careful. You get some crazy sometimes. But you can have a Google number. It doesn't have to go to your main phone. But in my area, my small town, that's still a lot of the way people network are bulletin boards. We got one at the grocery store, and we got one at the mechanic, and we got one at the Chamber of Commerce. Works.
I want to move away from the idea of media. I want to let's look at this from like an aspect of we sell used clothing, right?
Okay.
Do you I think it would work just as good because there's so much clothes everywhere. Like if you did the same exact thing, maybe you went to like some smaller boutiques or places that, turn over clothes often, thrift stores that, turn over clothes often. I think there's relationships regardless of the category that can level up your business because people are like, well, books are different. Well, I don't think it's different than if you're the shoe guy, if you're the t-shirt guy. I think there's relationships to be made and there's so much inventory out there you have no idea. Like estate sales, like you could just go before the estate sale and buy the vintage clothes at a more premium price than they plan on selling it for. We talked about a few episodes ago. I watched this show where the girl would you keep an eye on the obituaries and then go to the house and knock on the door and ask if she could literally shop the clothes of the person that passed away. And she said, hey, I'm going to put these clothes into somebody else's wardrobe that's going to appreciate it, wear it again. I mean, there's so many ways. And we just said,
Oh, I got a couple for you right here. If I lived in the North, here's what I would do. I would set myself up a nonprofit, full disclaimer, my own little website that says we sell a small portion of the stuff for our business. And every year I'd run a coat drive. And I'm gonna take some of those coats to resell. The rest are gonna do the nonprofit thing. And now let's reverse it. Let's say I'm in Texas, right? Same thing, Western wear drive, right? Bring all your cowboy hats, clothes, your pearl snap button ups, whatever. I would sell a small portion of them. The rest would do whatever the charity does with them, give them to people in need, et cetera, et cetera. That's a way to do it. Fine. I'm just going to give away all the fun things today. If you go up to your local food pantry, people donate more than just food to these people. I've gotten books from food pantries. I've seen clothes at food pantries. I've seen electronics at food pantries. People donate to these places because they don't know what to do with it, or they don't have a goodwill in their area. So if you think outside the box for just, again, just take a minute. Where do people give stuff? Answer those questions. Come up with 10 places, and maybe two of them are outside the box, and those two are probably going to feed you for a good minute.
Yeah, it only takes a few of these relationships, especially if you're a solo entrepreneur reseller. It only takes a few of these larger relationships, and you're going to be swimming in so much profitable inventory that the goodwill is going to be an afterthought. You rarely step foot in one of these places ever again because, hey, now you got it coming from before it even gets to the goodwill. It's better stuff. It's an endless supply out there, no matter what category you're selling.
Now, this is the fun one. I've heard a few people mention it now. I'm not going to say the categories because that's their information. This is a non-recorded call. But they'll go to a convention or a place that hosts a thing about a thing, and they'll buy a booth for the weekend. They're not selling anything. They put up a sign saying, we're buying.
Yeah, dude, yeah.
We're buying. We're not selling. We're buying. And you just sit there because all the people, all the vendors and stuff, what they don't sell, they don't want to take it back with them. So they're going to come over to your table at the end of this thing, or they're going to have people that come in for the convention or whatever thing, event being run. They may want to have some stuff to sell. I'm open for business. It's my business.
It's a reimagined lemonade stand.
Yep.
Right? That's all it is. You could literally, me and you could probably do this out front of where we live.
We could go to a book fair and do the same thing. Have a blank table, a stack of money.
Yeah.
Sign that says buying books.
You could do it right from your garage or right out front of your house. Have a yard sale, sell some of your stuff, and then hey, you can also put in the thing, I'm buying books, I'm buying shirts, I'm buying sneakers, whatever. And people come to you. You ain't even gotta leave your that sounds nice, Johnny. Maybe I'll do that and I'll put
just
a bucket.
Just sit out your apartment right there. You should record this, Mike. You should do it. It would be great film. It would. Little table. Little sun hat, your little sun hat thing, maybe a little umbrella. buying all media, books, CDs, and DVDs.
I'll set up a little bell down there, and I'll have a bucket going out the third floor window, and they fill up the bucket, and I pull it up, and I just send a few.
You lower it with money?
yeah, that's it. That kind of is like, that's a hack everybody has because everybody's living somewhere. So just be like, hey, promote it for a month, put it on Facebook and all your local yard sale things. Hey. This day, it's funny because I think it was last year, I was driving to thrift stores and there was a local jewelry shop, Johnny, that was doing a jewelry buying day. Dude, the line was like half a mile long and the jewelry shop was like maybe 50 by 50 feet. Like it was insane.
That's a play right there.
Dude, you can't lose. It comes to you. You don't got to go look for the inventory.
Yeah, it's the same thing with my brick and mortar. People, I swear. More books get donated than leave. I don't know if I'm winning this battle, but I like that books come in.
Yeah, I'd be curious. You got me curious if you just set up a little table, promoted it for like 2 or 3 weeks that, hey, on this weekend, I'm going to be buying books, CDs, DVDs, bring a buy, get a cash offer today. Like
curbside pickup, books for money, CDs for money, DVDs for money, cash money all day. Let's do it.
Yeah, vintage t-shirts for money. Like, oh my god, you probably would run out of cash, honestly, especially if you're in somewhere that is kind of populated because people need cash. Take advantage of cash is king. That is still true today, though like people need the $20, people need the $30, $40, $50. Yeah, man. I think we're gonna call it there. We appreciate y'all listening or watching over on YouTube, and we'll talk to you in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.